Radio Prague News.
Environmental activists in the Šumava National Park have taken to the treetops as police attempt to remove them from the area for the fourth consecutive day. The Foreign Ministry has confirmed that the European Commission is investigating the situation in the Šumava. And President Václav Klaus has responded to media reports of his refusal to go through security at the Australian Parliament. Environmental activists in the Šumava National Park have taken to the treetops as police attempt to remove them from the area for the fourth consecutive day. Other protesters have shackled themselves together around the trees. The activists have been attempting to stop the park management from felling trees in a protected zone of the forest that is being destroyed by the bark beetle infestation. Environmental groups maintain that the park management has no exemption to cut in the area. However, a preliminary court order allowed loggers to begin work in the area on Monday, at which the police arrived to remove the activists. Of the 76 activists in the area, 26 were arrested on Wednesday, and several more were taken away from the area. The park has marked roughly 4,000 trees for felling and intends to use heavy machinery to accelerate the process. In related news, the Foreign Ministry has confirmed that the European Commission is investigating the situation in the Šumava. According to the news website Aktualne.cz, the Commission asked the Ministry to explain the situation in June, and a response is currently being prepared. Based on the explanation, Brussels will then decide whether to bring a legal suit against the Czech Republic that could result in a large fine or other penalties. The Šumava, or Bohemian Forest, is part of the EU's Natura 2000 network of protected habitats. President Václav Klaus has responded to media reports of his refusal to go through security at the Australian Parliament House. On Tuesday, President Klaus refused to go through a metal detector at the Australian Parliament building, where he was to be interviewed on public television. Writing in the Daily Pravo, the president explains that a group of schoolchildren was queued in front of him as he waited to enter the building, whereby he told the TV producer that he was not prepared to wait. The producer's account that Mr. Klaus objected to going through the metal detector made international headlines that evening. The Czech president is on a private rather than official visit to Australia, where he is doing a string of lectures positing his controversial views on climate change. Accidents caused by drunk drivers killed 29 people in the first half of 2011, the traffic police have reported. The number amounts to 9% of the total number of road accident victims this year and marks a decrease from last year when there were 17 more deaths during the same period. The number of injuries resulting from drink-related accidents, however, rose sharply by 124 to nearly 1,200, and the number of accidents in which alcohol was a factor was also higher. The police report that more than 11,400 drivers were found to have alcohol in their blood while driving during the first half of the year. An additional 850 drivers were found to be under the influence of drugs. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny, with scattered showers in south and western Bohemia and daytime highs of around 23 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital. My name is Jan Richter. In today's show, it's been 5 years since same-sex partnerships were introduced in the Czech Republic. Czech airline pilots will deliberately delay flights in protest against layoffs. And then later, the country's National Heritage Institute is trying to attract foreign visitors to destinations outside the capital. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. This week marks 5 years since the bill on registered partnership between gay couples came into force in the Czech Republic. During the period, more than 1,200 gay and lesbian couples in the country formed civil unions. While most within the gay community welcomed the original legislation, many still feel it didn't go far enough because it failed to recognize gay marriage or adoption rights. Jan Wellinger spoke to Zdeněk Sloboda, a representative of PROUD, a Czech initiative promoting human rights.
I think it was a very important milestone. Nevertheless, we think that there are still things to do in Czech Republic in the LGBT human rights area. But when you look more eastern than Czech Republic is, you see that there are big struggles with this particular act. So it was a very, very important thing to do.
Some people, of course, on the fifth anniversary have remarked that the bill in the Czech Republic did only pass by one vote. Do you think that since that time, broader society has gotten used to same-sex partnerships being recognized, and are Czechs generally tolerant towards the bill?
Well, towards the bill, the Czechs are tolerant because there is this exception that you cannot adopt children. So there is explicitly written that the gay and lesbians cannot have children, which is not in the reality true, but in the law it is written like this, that you cannot adopt children. So generally, Czech population is more or less tolerant, or they say that they are tolerant towards gay and lesbians and the same-sex partnership, but not to the marriage. When you look at these statistics, the marriage is not that much supported as the civil partnership. So it is this we call tolerance with exception or conditional tolerance. So yeah, you can have your partnership, which is not the same level as the marriage is, and then we tolerate you.
What are areas where the bill did help people who were in same-sex partnerships?
I think that the bill is more or less only a symbolical thing, because when we look at all the bills that were submitted before, there are more laws, more possibilities, more things for the gay and lesbians in the bills that didn't pass. The one that passed in 2006 was the bill that was with the less possibilities you could have with it.
And some of them were fairly basic, but also common sense. For example, having the right as a partner to gain information about your partner if he or she was in hospital, that kind of thing, right?
Yes, it was more or less just the basic thing, which actually you could have managed with two or three contracts. When two people just signed two or three contracts, they could have in that time the same things as the bill of registered partnership actually allows.
One of the things that remains kind of a point of contention is adoption, and I'm thinking adoption of children in the relationship. If one is the biological parent and the other basically has no legal rights over the child in the case of death, do you think that this is something that needs to be addressed in the future?
Yes, definitely, and I would not say it will be far future. We actually are trying in this year to do some steps to improve this condition, because there are children in registered partnerships. The bill of registered partnership gives the non-biological parent obligations, but he doesn't have any rights for the child. So this is big problem, and as far as I know, there will be some lawsuit that there is no possibility in the registered partnership to adopt biological child and have also the rights.
So basically it's discrimination, in your view, against the non-biological parent.
Definitely. That's the biggest problem. We know about 100, mainly lesbian couples, that have child in the age between 1 year and 15 that are in Czech Republic. And when they become partners, when they voluntarily register themselves, they are then facing this problem that they cannot adopt a child, and the problem is big and will be bigger and bigger because there will be more and more families.
Jan Wellinger was talking there to Zdeněk Sloboda from the Proud Initiative. Now, the state-controlled carrier ČSA handed out earlier this week a first round of notices to some of its pilots, a step that the airline's management says is in line with the government-approved restructuring plan. However, the Czech Airlines Pilots Association does not agree with the layoffs and has announced a go-slow protest to kick off on Monday. Sara Borůvka has the details.
Beginning on Monday, passengers of the Czech Republic's state-owned carrier ČSA might experience delays. The Czech Airlines Pilots Association said it would launch a go-slow protest against the company's plans to lay off staff. The head of the Pilots Association, Filip Gaspar, says its members will protest by strictly adhering to rules and regulations specified by the labor code.
What znamená, budou se striktně dodržovat veškeré povinnosti.
It will be a go-slow process, so we will strictly adhere to all our duties as employees, but we will only work the hours that we are legally required to and take advantage of all the breaks and rights that we are entitled to according to the labor code.
The layoffs are part of the carrier's restructuring plan approved by the Czech government in May of last year. The airline handed out the first round of notices on Wednesday. The plan involves an extensive set of measures to make the company profitable by 2012. Hanna Hisková is the carrier's spokesperson.
The Czech airline sees no reason for the protest. The changes that are being made in the airline are absolutely in line with the restructuring plan approved by the government, which also yesterday confirmed the supervisory board and also the Minister of Finance himself. The plan has now reached its second third. Logically, the changes are reflected in the personnel area and concern all professions across the company, including in-flight staff.
According to Mr. Gaspar, however, redundancies were not supposed to take place until after the restructuring process of the carrier is completed, some 18 months from now.
The main reason is the fact that the management has been breaking a number of agreements, the Czech Labor Code and other regulations. The straw that broke the camel's back is that they have not followed the restructuring plan as was agreed upon, which we, the Czech Airline Pilots Association, supported last year. Right now, management is getting ready to go beyond what was discussed, and we believe it will damage the company.
But Hanna Hejsková says the management of Czech Airlines has been communicating intensively with its employees. Another round of negotiations is not planned ahead of the announced start of the protest on Monday, yet Czech Airlines officials doubt the pilots will go ahead with it. Staff cuts are unavoidable and the carrier is not prepared to go back on its decision, she says.
It's really necessary to carry on. In the course we have set out, it is not possible to blackmail the airline with the pressure tactics because of the personal interests of individuals and thereby threaten the course of the restructuring, taking passengers as hostages.
According to Mr. Gaspar, pilots routinely get to work early and skip breaks to prevent flight delays. He has announced that the slow-go protest will go into effect immediately after midnight on Monday.
Sarah Borůvka reporting. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a new edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazarová.
The National Heritage Institute, which is responsible for the protection and preservation of the country's historical monuments, has over 100 palaces, castles and manor houses in its care. Over the past 20 years, it has worked hard to restore many of those long-neglected buildings to their former glory, and today they represent the best part of the country's national heritage. Regrettably, many of those outside Prague remain undiscovered by foreign tourists. Tomáš Brabec of the National Heritage Institute says this is something that the institute is trying hard to change.
No, our problem is that we are losing the tourists from abroad. We altogether, you know, throughout the year, serve to approximately 4,400,000 visitors, and only 10%, you know, of those are the people coming from other countries, mainly German-speaking countries, then English-speaking countries, which doesn't mean that those people are necessarily British or Americans. And then we have quite many visitors from countries from France, Italy, Spain, and Latin America. The thing is that, however, you know, those people are coming from such a variety, you know, of countries, they really represent only 10%, you know, of our visitors.
So what is the problem? Why is there this drop, and why aren't more people, more foreign tourists coming to your sites?
Let's say that there were two crises, you know. The one came soon after, you know, the terrorist attack in New York. which was a global issue. And now, you know, we have the consequences of the financial crisis, you know, and both are quite well projected, you know, into the situation in tourism, which is something, you know, that is coming from outside, and we simply can only deal with that, you know, but we can't affect the reasons, you know, of that. We are now very closely cooperating, you know, with the national agency Czech Tourism, which after some years of promoting Czech Republic as a destination of culinary experiences, you know, and other attractions, is coming back, you know, to philosophy that Czech Republic is mainly a country of castles and palaces, and we absolutely agree with them on that, and we are trying, you know, to support that philosophy and that like a marketing activities of Czech tourism as much as we can in terms of explaining to visitors that the most precious part of the national heritage of this country, you know, are those castles and the palaces. So we very much hope that in a long-term perspective, you know, this will bring those lost visitors or people who simply did not maybe have enough information, you know, to come to our places, to come to see, you know, our castles, manor houses, etc.
Well, but do you feel that enough is being done to actually make the country's legacy, which, as you say, palaces, manor houses, attractive enough to make it worthwhile for a tourist to leave Prague? Usually they're here for a certain period of time, 3 or 4 days, to leave Prague, to travel to one of those castles, then to travel to another castle?
We don't certainly feel that there was enough done so far, but this is actually why we are so closely cooperating with Czech Tourism. You know, that's actually, as we see it, you know, the most efficient way how we can help to promote this country, you know, as a country of architectural heritage that really has an incredible value, you know, and definitely makes Czech Republic, you know, to be very unique and special. Because we can speak actually for the 104, 90 of them are open to public places that we have under our maintenance. And those are certainly one of the best what we can find in Europe. The reasons are quite clear, you know, because thanks to the historical circumstances, you know, the palaces and those historical buildings placed in Czech Republic, they are not quite beautifully preserved, you know, in terms of the architecture, I mean, because of the visual quality, but most of them is also fully equipped, you know, with the original inventory, which is a European uniqueness, you know, in such a scale. And this is actually what we are now trying to support, you know, in the field of the cooperation with the government agency, which is Czech Tourism. And that's actually what we can really do. We are now strengthening also the relations, you know, with the British heritage. Some of our representatives, you know, they've been to Britain some weeks ago. So we are trying, you know, to change experiences, you know, with a country which certainly has a much longer tradition, you know, in managing such a huge number of historical buildings, you know, than Czech Republic.
What kind of visitors, what kind of foreign tourists would you be targeting?
From that point of view, I think that the group of places that are in care of the National Heritage Institute, we can satisfy almost everybody, because the castles, palaces, chateau, manor houses, even some technical monuments, you know, that we take care of, they represent all what you have said. You know, this is actually architecture, fine art, sculpture, the garden architecture, folk architecture, industrial architecture. So there is a bit of something for almost everybody. We are now having a new website. Actually, each of our places is having a website in different language versions. This is another way, you know, actually how we are trying, you know, to bring the people directly to our places and trying to show them what is the typical characteristic of each place. And I can really say that we can satisfy in terms of that almost everybody who is having the elementary cultural interest.
Well, what are some of the gems that you would recommend, for instance?
No, if I will follow the popularity of our places, of course, the most popular and the best known places now is the castle of Karlstein, Český Krumlov, Konopiště, the Chateau Hluboká, all the Moravian UNESCO complex, Lednice. The castles, they can really offer authenticity, you know, and a lot of them can offer noble feelings. And we have to say that people are traveling mainly, you know, to experience something, you know. We learned that our visitors, know, they are not coming necessarily to learn. They are coming mainly to experience, you know, to have a nice time, an enjoyable time. And this is actually why we are targeting everybody. This is not distinguishing whether the visitors are from Czech Republic or from abroad. We are trying to enrich, you know, the basic services, which is the guiding around our places, you know, with some other additional activities, which can be, I don't know, like theater sets, you know, inside, you know, it can be music performance, it can be guiding that is organized and made personally by the manager of the place, you know, who can definitely present the site much better, you know, with much deeper knowledge, you know, than any, however professional guide it could be. Our year, our season is divided, you know, into months where each is having certain topic which is presented, you know, to visitors, and they can actually very much follow the content of those topics, you know, and they can look for what they are interested in. So we have months, you know, that are focused on children and what the children might be interested in. Then we have private life of the aristocracy, which is rather for somebody who really would like, you know, to have a deeper view, you know, to the life of the castles, which is not existing anymore because none of them are really used for permanent living now. So this is the way how we are trying, you know, to bring our castles closer to visitors, you know, to present them with a bit more of a human face, you know, what I would say.
Have you thought about themed tours?
Those exist, you know, they exist, and at some places, you know, where it's actually possible, where the exhibition allows the castle management, you know, to put up such a project as a theme tours. And it's, you know, it's a regular part, you know, of our cultural events. Altogether, you know, we have more than 2,000 cultural events, you know, on our places throughout 1 year. So we are actually one of the biggest organizers, you know, of the cultural events in the country, which includes not only the guiding, you know, of any kind, but also a lot of musical events, theater, a lot of workshops that are specialized, you know, in what our specialized department, you know, in the cultural heritage maintenance, you know, is doing. So it definitely exists.
What is your target goal? What would you like to see, or where would you like to be in, say, 3 years or 5 years' time?
Oh, we certainly would like to fulfill expectations of all different age groups, if I can say so, which means that we would like to make our places not attractive only for people who are, from their personal reasons, interested, you know, in history, but really to make them attractive and accessible, you know, to whole families, to people with all different kind of disabilities, you know, which is another problem we have, because it's not an easy thing, you know, to open a place which was built in times, you know, when the main stress was the defensive function, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, at the beginning of the 21st century, you know, you are trying to open that place to somebody who is on a wheelchair. But, you know, it's a challenge, and I think that this is actually where we would like to go in the future. Simply to be able to serve as many potentially interested people as we can.
Daniela Lazarová was speaking to Tomáš Brabec from the Czech National Heritage Institute. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Sound Czech, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Moje milá dala si tmavý přeliv na vlasy, takže si ji stále s jinou pletu.
You are listening to Sound Czech. Today we'll be listening to a song from the 1960s called Chybí mi ta jistota, or I Can't Be Sure, by the legendary duo Jiří Suchý and Jiří Šlitr, the protagonists of the Semaphore Theatre. Today's featured phrase is Dočkej času jako husa klasu.
Dočkávaj času jako husa klasu, jestli se to nezmění.
The singer's girlfriend has dyed her hair dark, and now he's unable to tell her from other dark-haired women. So he greets all the girls with dark hair and waits if he can recognize the voice of his girlfriend, biding his time. Dočkávaj času jako husa klasu. Word for word, this phrase means biding his time just like a goose waits for ears of corn. Husa means a goose, klas is an ear of corn.
Dočkávaje času jako husa klasu, jestli se to nezmění.
The phrase is usually addressed to someone impatient. Dočkej času jako husa klasu. Bide your time like geese wait for ripe corn. In the song, the verb in the phrase is used in the transgressive, which is a rather archaic form, and means biding one's time, waiting. Usually the phrase is used in the imperative, dočkej. There are other Czech sayings calling on people to be patient. For example, trpělivost růže přináší, patience brings roses. Or, kdo si počká, ten se dočká. He who waits lives to see the results. Another phrase using the verb čekat, but with a different meaning, is jen počkej, just you wait.
Dočkávaje času jako husa klasu, jestli se to nezmění, napadá mě řešení.
While the singer is biding his time like a goose that waits for corn, dočkává času jako husa klasu, we have learnt a new phrase. Naschledanou.
Dočkávaje času jako husa klasu, jestli se to nezmění, napadá mě řešení. I když nenajdu tu jednu, co jsem měl už loni v lednu, po jiné se poohlednu a pak dívce s plavým vlasem lakonicky řeknu šla jsem a budu mít zase jednu, třeba v dubnu, když ne v lednu. Parodará.
Pavla Horáková with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.